You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the world. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and our resource consultants are at your disposal, standing by 888-7000 and the letter CRI. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone callers. First up, Paul, listening in Kansas City, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Hank. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's been a real blessing to listen to the radio recently. I discovered you guys probably not quite a month ago now, and it's been real good for helping me to think really critically about what I believe and maybe how to speak with others in a critical sense to in a respectful sense. So that's been really helpful to me.
Oh, wonderful.
Hey, I kind of wanted to, and I try to always think, you know, when I'm thinking about my faith and kind of defending it or speaking with others, trying to think of a respectful, reasonable argument that I could present to somebody who doesn't believe what I believe to some degree. I know that faith is its deep roots and, you know, ultimately comes back to what God says matters most. But when I think about just reason and putting things together, you know, recently I was thinking about the Constitution and the fact that it exists at all. I kind of wanted to see if you could expound or share your thoughts about My thinking is that the assumption of the Constitution is that it wasn't written for those who lived in the time that it was written. So it didn't protect just their rights, right? The signers and those who authenticated it and wrote it. So I guess my question is does that pose a huge problem for those who support abortion? Because it kind of creates a contention in the law, which says, in my opinion, some people are more almost super legal, and some people are sublegal. Sublegal being those aborted, and super legal those being who do the aborting. What's your take on that?
Well, I think what's important to recognize is that when we say that a preborn child is in fact a child, we're not trying to communicate that that child has for a fully developed personality, but rather that that child has full personhood, which is to say that a fertilized human egg, a zygote, is a person. And again, we're not suggesting that that is the case based on some kind of a metaphysical contention, although I would contend from a metaphysical standpoint that is true. But today, this is simply a fact. To accept the fact that fertilization has taken place and that a new human being has come into being is right. No longer a matter of taste or opinion. The human nature of the human being from conception to old age is not a metaphysical contention, as I mentioned. It's plain old experimental evidence. And if you look at what Dr. Jaime Gordon, who was professor of medical genetics, and I think also a physician at the prestigious Mayo Clinic, said, I think we can now also say that the question of the beginning of life, when life begins, is no longer a question for theological or philosophical dispute. It's an established scientific fact. And therefore, a theologian and philosopher may go on to debate the meaning of life or purpose of life, but it's an established fact that all life, including human life, begins at the moment of conception. And therefore, under the Constitution, that life has the right that we afford to a child after it emerges from the womb.
Right.
So I think that the United States and the Constitution, therefore, protects the life of innocent human beings that are in the womb, just as it protects the life of innocent human beings outside the womb. Certainly, neither deserve capital punishment, and that is what abortion is.
Yeah, thank you for your thoughts. I really appreciate that, and I feel kind of like what you're saying. I feel like the Constitution came before the Americans that live today and take advantage of the rights that it protects and provides for. So that arbitrary line of deciding physiologically when or metaphysically when a person becomes a person or to obtain rights, I feel like the obtaining of rights, it's already been given to those like me who weren't there at the time of the Constitution being written. So anyways, thank you so much for your thoughts. And can I get the name of that person with the Mayo Clinic you said?
Yeah, I was talking about Dr. Jaime Gordon.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I
also want to mention that in my complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, I have an abortion acronym. So I use abortion as an acronym so that people can remember the arguments against the abortion rights lobby.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for your time and sharing your thoughts. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Sally in Linden, Washington, listening on KARI. Hi, Sally.
Hi there, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call, and I've been a supporter for years for you financially and especially prayerfully. I just have been so blessed by your program, Hank. And anyway, I just wanted to ask you, I like the answer you gave that lady when you know the truth so well, you'll spot a pastor that is just not quite accurate. And I know that is true. You have said it about Joseph Prince. But I have a few dear, close friends that support him, and they want to know exactly what I don't like about him, his ministry. But I was just wondering if you could tell me in a short way, what are the main points I could tell them about what is wrong with his ministry?
Well, you know, I think he takes such things as communion, and he prostitutes them. Communion, of course, is very sacred to the body of Christ, because every time we partake of the Eucharist, we are partaking of the body and blood of Christ. And so we must not prostitute communion. And one of the things that Joseph Prince says is that when you partake, don't partake unworthily, forgetting that the bread is broken for your body to be well. In other words, to be healed. If you see that his body was broken, that your body might be healed, then you are partaking worthily of what he did. So now he's telling the people that listen to him that the whole meaning of discerning your own spiritual state before you take communion is really not what Paul had in mind. What Paul had in mind is that taking communion worthily means that you believe that Christ's body was broken so you could be healed, and taking it unworthily means that you don't believe that. Now, that is an absolute distortion of the clear words of Scripture. In order that he might take a text and turn it into a pretext for his word of faith proclivity, which is to teach that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one creates their own reality. Let me give you another example. I think of what he says about 1 John 1:9. You read 1 John, and you know that what he is saying here is not true. What he says is it was written to Gnostics, not to believers. And I challenge anyone to read 1 John and come up with that conclusion. And then he comes to the presupposition, as he puts it, that you do not need to confess your sins again and again to be forgiven. You are already forgiven. With one sacrifice on the cross, Christ blotted out all the sins of your entire life. And then he says, don't cheapen his unmerited favor with your own imperfect efforts to confess all your sins. Well, that flies directly in the face of Scripture. You know, John in 1 John urges his dear children in the faith, not Gnostics, but his dear children in the faith, those who have been forgiven on account of Christ, to continually confess their sins. This does not cheapen the grace of God. Confession purifies our heart, restores the joy of our salvation. And not only that, the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray includes the phrase, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that petition, like the contrition of David, brings with it grace and peace. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, said David, you will not despise. Or think of the fact that James, the brother of Jesus, explicitly exhorted believers to confess their sin to one another and also to God. And as is in the case with John, the grammatical construction is a present active subjunctive which denotes continual confession. So each time we partake of the Eucharist, we examine ourselves, confess our sin, so that we may not come under judgment. Continuous confession brings with it the certain promise that God is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that is the very thing the Bible calls us to do and Joseph Prince calls us not to do. Now, in the Christian Research Journal, we did an article which has to do with his prostitution on the subject of grace. But over and over again, he has demonstrated himself to be an unreliable teacher. And the problem we have in the church today, I would classify as pastorpreneur. These are entrepreneurs as opposed to being pastors that are taking care of the flock. In essence, they are taking care of themselves, not the flock. So I would be very, very wary of Joseph Prince. I couldn't get into his motivations for doing what he does. But I can tell you this. He has allowed wolves in sheep's clothing to address his flock, and he himself is distorting the word of God over and over and over again and should be held to account for that.
Well, thank you, Hank. That's real helpful. I'm writing all this down as you tell me, and I really appreciate your time. It's going to be very helpful.
Well, you got it. It is my pleasure, and again, it gives me no great joy to point out error, but I think error needs to be pointed out. I mean, if spiritual cyanide is being communicated publicly, it needs to be rebutted publicly. And this is precisely what has happened, and there has to be an antidote. And I think what you do is test what I say in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. Are his teachings sound? Well, contrast them not with what I say, but with what Scripture says, and then hold fast to the good. I was a month or so ago, I was in Berea, and I stood by a big statue of the Apostle Paul, and I thought about his words in Berea, where he said that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and I'd just been there the day before, because daily they examined the Scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was in fact so. Now, Paul could have said, I am anointed of God, don't check me out. But Paul was not proud. He humbly counted those that checked him out as being noble because they were testing what he said in light description. And that's ultimately what we need to get in the practice of doing, because we have, as Paul warned, many from among your own number who are teaching people the kind of dogmas that tickle their ears, but ultimately turn sour in their stomach. Be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. The information I talk about on the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI.
Think about it. For cultural Zionists, the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians is a defensible cruelty. For Christian Zionists, it's a divine command. When we get biblical prophecy wrong, more than theological error is involved. It can lead to justifying the slaughter of innocents, some of whom are Christian brothers and sisters. In his article, A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism, Hank Hanegraaff addresses the very real consequences of biblical interpretation run amok. Problems with Christian Zionism are further clarified in his book, The Apocalypse Code, and the end-time fiction novel, Fuse of Armageddon. Receive any of these three resources by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Hank will be back after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an obsession, resulting in rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or complicated charts. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to very controversial questions. What does it mean to take the book of Revelation and the rest of the Bible literally? Who is the Antichrist? And how does our view of the end times influence the way we think about the crisis in the Middle East? To receive your copy of the Apocalypse Code as our thanks for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Does the Bible mandate Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the Jewish people? Is there truly a need to rebuild a temple and inflame the fires of Armageddon in the 21st century? Learn what's at stake when the interpretation of prophecy is distorted through the historically recent yet wildly embraced lens of dispensationalism. Receive Hank Hanegraaff's special article, A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism, when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Run back to our phone callers. Next up is Scott, listening in El Paso, Texas on KELP. Hi, Scott.
Yes, hello. How are you doing today, sir?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I had a question, and you're one of the only two apologists that I would trust to answer it with sound biblical doctrine. What I feel is, and a lot of people accuse us of being polytheists, and we know we are monotheists. We believe in one God represented in three. I believe when we arrive in heaven, we will just see Christ physically and the Father and the Holy Spirit within him, but not three separate beings?
Well, it is absolutely true what you have said in the prologue to your question, that we serve a monotheistic God. Our God is one. And within that one God, there's identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. And those relationships are eternally distinct relationships. So forever there will be one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. Now, another teaching that you have in the Scripture is that the second person of the Trinity took on flesh and therefore is forever Theanthropus, the God-man. And thus we can say of a certainty that we will see Christ physically. We will behold him with physical eyes because we too will be resurrected physically. But we will also experience God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in a sense that transcends the physical. In other words, in a way that transcends the empirical senses. In a way that is far more profound than even physical sight. So we will experience Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three persons in the one essence or nature of God. Now, I have to say, in answering that question, that ultimately we will never fully comprehend God. He is ineffable. And thus, even in eternity, finite beings, though perfected in eternity, will not fully comprehend that which is incomprehensible. We will grow in our comprehension, but we will never fully comprehend the one who saved us by his grace.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Hank.
Hopefully that helps. I appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Bruce in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
All right. I have a strong desire to become fully devoted to God. You know, with all the things that's going on in the world, I want to raise my children a way that's most honorable to God. At this time, I am living in sin. I'm not married. I have two children. We've been attending a church, but I want to know how to find out what God's will is for me and how to pursue it.
Well, I think what's wonderful is that is your will. Your will is to align yourself with the principles and the precepts of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as you learn more about your Savior, the more you want to emulate his life and his practices, because you know that he has placed those parameters around your life, not because he is a cosmic killjoy, but rather because he wants your joy to be complete in Him. And so I think that the disposition of your heart is what God ultimately is looking at. He cares that you care deeply about conforming your life to His principles. So as you encounter His principles, and you in the prologue of the question have already indicated that you know that there are some things that are displeasing to Him, you set about the task of changing those things, not because you want to live within legalistic boundaries, but rather because you want to please Him and you know that what He has prescribed for you is the best for you. It's not second best, it's not third best, it is the best.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, it always gets back to those basics. I mean, you look at your situation or my situation or anyone else's situation and so often think, well, maybe there's a magic bullet out there somewhere. But there really isn't. It gets back to those basics of prayer and reading the Word of God. Because when you read the Word of God, you're interacting with the mind of God and with those who He inspired to communicate truths. Now, they're dead now, although God is alive and they're with God, but they were very much alive in the flesh when they wrote those words. So you're interacting with them as they are thinking God's thoughts after Him. And so there's a great power in studying or reading the Word of God and in prayer. And then, of course, it's so critical that you find a healthy, well-balanced church, because no Christian can make this trek alone. We're called in baptism to take up our cross, unified with the body of Christ, and follow Him. And we take communion because through communion we're empowered to live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So all of these are practical means by which God works supernaturally in our lives to conform us to His image. So it's not as much that you have to somehow or other scrub yourself off, but as you live the engrafted life, the Christ within you begins to transform you, again, by the power of the Spirit. So take the means of grace that He offers you seriously, and when you do, He will transform you. So you're not living merely a changed life, but an exchanged life, the life of Christ within.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
And don't lose heart. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Bruce. Thank you, Father, that he desires his life to be pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray that he might not lose heart, but that you will bring people to encourage him on the path towards righteousness. In one sense, the path towards complete righteousness, because he is now on a trek towards glorification, where he will be not just in position, but practically what you have called him to be, altogether righteous, though that takes place when you appear a second time. I pray that in the meantime, you will continue to encourage him, and please bring people and circumstances into his life so that he might live a life pleasing to you. Again, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Bruce.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brandon, listening in Portland, Oregon, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hi. My question is, I'm a truck driver, and I have a lot of time to listen to the radio, and I was looking for maybe a recommendation of more than just the Bible reading, maybe someone that's actually teaching the Bible. Like, and then I specifically had a guy in mind to see what you thought of Chuck Missler.
I think he is highly questionable as a Bible teacher. I mean, you look at his history, he was involved in the Y2 craze, you know, saying that embedded chips in bank vaults, the doors would be open and the robbers would get your money and you wouldn't be able to get your money. And he would make up one story after another to take the mythology and posit that mythology in the minds of people as though it was truth. He is highly prone to theological speculation. He often says things, don't believe what I say, but believe what the Bible says or check it out for yourself. And then he goes off on one aberration after another, whether it's Bible codes or pyramidology or esoteric teachings of all kinds, newspaper eschatology, as I like to call it. But he also is very, very divisive. For example, he will say that if you deny the distinction between Israel and the church, you are of the synagogue of Satan, quoting Revelation chapter 2. So anyone who denies the distinction between Israel and the church is, in his view, of the synagogue of Satan. In other words, you couldn't be in a worse circumstance. It doesn't get any worse than that. That is a biblical denunciation categorizing that person as a non-Christian. Well, I will tell you that I do not believe in the distinction between Israel and the church. I believe that God has always had one chosen people, one covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross, and ultimately manifested in a cultivated olive tree, as Paul puts it. So I do not believe the very thing he says you have to believe in order to be a believer. And if you believe what I believe, you're of the synagogue of Satan. Now, is he right? Am I right? Well, again, I think it takes discernment skills. It's one of the reasons we have a special edition of the Christian Research Journal in which I address that very subject. And I address it in such a way that you can test what I say in light of Scripture. Does God have two distinct people? The answer to that question is, as I just pointed out, no. And therefore, one who holds my position can only pray for the courage to stand in the face of vilification and do all that is permissible to see that his viewpoint, his point that I'm a non-believer, fades into the shadowy recesses of history. We have a special resource all this month. And as I just mentioned, that's one of the questions I answer in that resource. It's a biblical response to people like Chuck Missler and to Christian Zionism. It is available for those who support the ministry, or if you just want to hang on, be happy to send it out to you. We have some other resources, I think, to counter his newspaper eschatology. The Fuse of Armageddon, where I use the power of story to communicate the logical truth propositions that are communicated in another book of mine called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. All three resources are available for those who support the ministry. For a gift of $100 or more, we'll send you all three. Be pleased to personalize them for you as well. Also remember, when you join the monthly CRI support team, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. You can check that out on the web at equip.org/donate. Equip.org/donate. You can also talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI, or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Be right back, so please don't touch that dial.
Fuse of Armageddon is an end-time fiction novel about a maverick hero who must come face-to-face with his past to stop a terrorist threat in the Holy Land. The issue of extreme religio-political ideologies has never been more relevant. Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer co-authored Fuse of Armageddon to entertain as well as to inform you about the dangers Christians face worldwide from terrorism. To receive your copy of Fuse of Armageddon as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn is unaware that global catastrophe is hours away. He's equally unaware of how his past is about to betray him. When he's sent into a hostage situation in the Gaza Strip with the woman who arrested him, they become unlikely allies fleeing for survival. Only the two of them can stop an unholy trinity prepared to trigger a final battle of civilizations and prevent the coming Armageddon. The issue of extreme religio-political ideologies has never been more relevant. Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer co-authored Fuse of Armageddon to entertain as well as to inform you about the dangers Christians face worldwide from terrorism. To receive your copy of Fuse of Armageddon as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Tragically, millions of American Christians have failed to understand what the Bible really says about the end times, and this has led them to support government policies that oppress Christian brothers and sisters in Palestine. Hank Hanegraaff's article, A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism, in a special issue of the Christian Research Journal, addresses the very real consequences of biblical interpretation run afoul of the truth. To receive your copy of Hank's article as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You're right back to our phone callers. Next up is Ralph, listening in Orlando, Florida, on the web. Hi, Ralph.
Hi. Hi, Hank. My daughter and I, Dawn, which you probably know, she's called many times. We love your ministry. And, Hank, you're familiar with, of course, what happened here in Orlando at Pulse, the gay bar that was taken. What happened is the Islam took a full-page ad in the Orlando Sentinel apologizing that, and they said they actually had nothing to do with that that shooting. But let me read just a part of it.
Sure.
We affirm that the mass murder who took the lives of so many innocent people was a vicious aggressor whose actions do not represent Islamic values. The Quran says, do not be brutal or commit aggression, for surely God does not love aggressors. Now, I understand, but are they missing the part where the Quran says that all people must be converted to the Quran and the teaching of the Muhammad, and that all those who do not believe in him will be either eliminated or killed? My question is, isn't that part of what Islam teaches?
Well, absolutely. And I think what's important to realize is that you really have two Qurans as opposed to one. You have a Meccan Quran and you have a Medinan Quran. When Muhammad was in Mecca, he was a struggling itinerant preacher. And he had a very long row to hoe. And as a result of being a struggling preacher, he said things, part of the Quran, that were peaceful at the time because he was in a great minority. He had very few followers. When you get to Medina, he was a bloodthirsty warlord. And therefore, the tenor of what he communicated was far different from when he was a struggling preacher in Mecca. And so, again, you have two Qurans. You can pick and choose between the two. But if you want to know what Islam is all about, while conceding that there are peaceful Muslims, you can never concede that Islam is a religion of peace. It has always advanced by the sword. If you look at the history of Christianity, it has advanced by the word, not the sword. You don't find suicide bombers in the Christian faith. And if you do, they are an aberration. Inevitably, when you hear of a suicide bombing, you can immediately deduce that it must be Islamic. And the fact remains that all of history has been a history of violent jihad within Islam. So look, for example, at Muhammad's life and then the four rightly guided caliphs that followed him. 29-year reign collectively. These were very violent years whereby Islam advanced by the sword. You look at the Umayyad Caliphate, again a bloody one if ever there was one, or the Abbasid, oftentimes considered the greatest of all the Muslim caliphates, advance again by the sword. Or you look about the Ottoman Turkish Empire throughout the world and you find violence, destruction, and death. In some cases, complete genocide. And now you have the Islamic State following in the footsteps of previous caliphates, calling themselves a caliphate, wanting to unite all of Islam under their ghastly reign. And they are inspiring a whole host of people based not on some weird, radical theology, but on the essence of what was taught to them and modeled for them by their leader, Muhammad. Modeled for them in the Quran, the Ahadith, the Surah, the Sunnah. What you find in Sharia law, interpreted even by those today who are the experts. And you find nothing but a legacy that either says that you submit, and if you happen to live in a Muslim country, then you become a dhimmi, and it's a proposition whereby you are inferior, and you have to pay a protection racket so you stay alive. Or you say the Shahada, which is a means of saying, I have just converted to Islam. Or what you do is you face the sword. Those are the three options that you have. And what Muhammad taught And what Islam has always taught is that there are only two houses. It's the house of Islam and the house of war. If you're not part of the house of Islam, you're part of the house of war. Now, do I concede that there are many Muslims that do not understand their own legacy, their own history? Of course. But this is very akin to what you ultimately put your trust in. The founder of Christianity or the founder of Islam as two primary sources. You got the two fastest growing religions in the world, although Islam now is the fastest growing religion in the world. If you look at the legacy of Christ, he told Peter to put up your sword. If you advance by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Muhammad did exactly the opposite. Beheading, very much like the Islamic State does today, Jews, calling people of the book the vilest of all creatures. So sure, there are Muslims that know what they're doing. Care is a great example. And they are simply playing off the ignorance of people within the American community that think that Islam is a religion of peace. It isn't even a religion in the Western sanitized sense of the word. What it is a socio-political economic system that rides on the rails of Sharia and in the process subjugates people. You look at how women are subjugated under Islam and you wonder how Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton can speak of Islam in breathless terms with soaring rhetoric. So you have Barack Obama denouncing scripture and revering the Quran. And you find that in that there is either duplicity or ignorance. I don't know which, but one or the other. And this kind of duplicity is being communicated over and over again, particularly in the wake of the kinds of tragedies that you experienced in Orlando.
Yeah. Hank, do you believe that Christianity in the United States of America is in trouble?
We're in great trouble. You know, what we are seeing is an implosion of Christianity. There is no question about that. You look at Europe and America. We have a negative birth rate. Native populations are dying out, and they're being replaced by those who are migrating without assimilating. And those people have great population pluses, which is to say they believe in things like polygamy, and so they are multiplying rapidly. So native populations are dying out and being replaced by those who immigrate, and this is why this whole immigration without assimilation is a very seminal topic in our time, not only in Europe, but also in America. We also see the implosion of Christianity, whereby there are so many preachers within the Christian faith who are prostituting the Christian faith. That has become pandemic within the Christian world. Then you have the suppression of Christianity. The new scarlet letter, as has been well said, is the C in Christianity. You are not allowed to be politically incorrect when you talk about transgenderism. That is a fatal flaw. But you can say virtually anything you want about Christians and get away with it today. So there is a militant secularism that is going after Christianity in a way unprecedented in my lifetime. And you see this not only in America, but you see this throughout the EU countries, throughout Great Britain. I have to now separate them, I guess, formally, because of Brexit. You see this all over the place, the implosion of Christianity. Then on top of that, we're seeing genocide all over the world. I mean, think of Iraq, the second largest city in Iraq, Mosul. Christians have experienced genocide. They've either been executed or exiled. No more Christians. Church is empty. You can find this in places like Aleppo in Syria. The Christian population has been decimated. You don't hear a whole lot about that from our leaders in this country. Why? Because there is a sentiment towards Islam and not a very strong sentiment towards Christianity. So we're in trouble. But look, I've often said pagans do what pagans do. Why? Because they're pagans. What else would you expect? The real issue now becomes Christians knowing what they believe, why they believe, and becoming salt and light. If we become what we are intended to be, we can change the world. And even if we should suffer execution, as many Christians are in Syria, Iraq, and throughout the Middle East, the creed of Christianity, they are willing to do so because they know resurrection awaits them. Now, they are not willing to do by the sword what Islam is willing to do by the sword, but they are willing to give their lives as martyrs because the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. So Christianity lives by a completely different ethic, an ethic that ought to make them the fastest growing religion in the world, but the tragedy is it's Islam today that's the fastest growing religion in the world.
Yes. Hank, I pray for my country. I pray for my family. I pray for your ministry also. And I thank you so much for what you've done.
Well, thank you, Ralph. And I want to give my apologies to so many people calling in from all over the country and the world. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but Monday through Friday at this time, happy to answer your questions. And hopefully, as we pray for you, you'll pray for us, just as Ralph mentioned. We do what we do because life and truth matters, and we cannot do what we do without you. So you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next week with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Does what you believe about the end times really matter? In three powerful resources, Hank addresses the very real consequences of biblical interpretation run amok and why what you believe the Bible teaches about the end times matters today. Receive Hank's special article, A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism, his book, The Apocalypse Code, or his end-time fiction novel, Fuse of Armageddon, by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an obsession, resulting in rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or complicated charts. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to very controversial questions. What does it mean to take the book of Revelation and the rest of the Bible literally? Who is the Antichrist? And how does our view of the end times influence the way we think about the crisis in the Middle East? To receive your copy of the Apocalypse Code as our thanks for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.